Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Moses is 120 years old. That's old. He's about to die. But God has his purposes and plans. And God's purposes and God's plan don't die with his servants.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. Today, John reaches the conclusion of our study on the life of Moses. We'll review some of the major themes and key takeaways from this incredible adventure and take a closer look at the surprise ending of this biblical hero's journey. What will you remember? We're so glad that you're with us for the series finale. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with his concluding lesson.
Well, I trust you've enjoyed this series on the life of Moses as much as I have. Today I'm a bit sad because we now come to the end and we reflect on the death of Moses. Last time we began to consider why Moses was not allowed to enter the promised land. Instead of speaking to the rock as the Lord commanded, Moses had struck the rock twice with his staff. This was in direct disobedience to the Lord. It's true that the Israelites received water in abundance, but God is a holy God, and Moses had acted in unbelief. So today, as we conclude this series on Moses, I want us to reflect on some of the great themes we've learned in our study. May they be incorporated in our lives. Now, as we conclude the series on the life of Moses, I thought it'd be good to think of themes. I've selected four of them that I think are emphasized in the life of Moses and as he teaches them to the people. The first is the theme of remembrance. Over and over again in the book of Deuteronomy, the people are told to remember, not to forget. They were always to remember the Lord's guidance. They're always to remember the Lord's provision. And most important of all, they were never, ever to forget that once they were slaves in Egypt. They were always to remember their redemption from their slavery. The theme of remembrance. Secondly, Moses emphasizes in Deuteronomy the theme of obedience, even though he is going to be disobedient. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1. Here's Moses to the people. And now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the rules that I'm teaching you and do them, that you may live and go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your father, is giving you. You shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord, your God, that I command you. Obedience is key. To know the word of God and to keep it. This pleases our Heavenly Father. And so this is the theme of Moses, the theme of remembrance, the theme of obedience, and then choice. Moses was a man who made a wise choice. Yes, he made mistakes, but he made a wise choice. Yes, I believe in God's sovereignty, but I also believe in human responsibility and human choice. At the age of 40, remember, Moses had a very important decision to make. He's raised in the palace of Pharaoh. He had all the pleasures and treasures of Egypt at his disposal. But we read, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the great reward. I'm quoting from Hebrews 11. He made a choice. 40 years old, brought up in Pharaoh's palace. He had it made. He had it all, we would say. What more could a man of 40 want? No, he says, I'm going to identify with my people. I'm going to make a choice to follow the Lord. Have you made that choice? Have you? Jesus said, if anyone comes after me, let him deny self. Take up his cross and follow me. Have you made that choice to follow Christ in total commitment? We read from the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. So who are you serving? Jesus says, come, follow me. Are you going to respond as Moses responded with a life of following the Lord? Remembrance, obedience, choice, and faith, of course. Moses lived by faith. And for that, we turn to the great chapter on faith in Hebrews 11, Hebrews 11, 23. And notice the references to faith. Hebrews 11, 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. His parents lived by faith. By faith, here it is, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians were drowned when they attempted to do the same, and so on. By faith. Here is a man who knows God, a man who lived by faith in remarkable circumstances, delivering the people, going through the Red Sea as we read, living by faith. In Deuteronomy 34, it said of Moses that the Lord knew him and he knew the Lord face to face. That's a close relationship, isn't it? To know someone face to face. If you speak to someone face to face, and we miss this with the COVID-19 when we're isolated and we can't do this, Zoom is not the same. But if I said I spoke with so-and-so face to face, that's talking about a close relationship, isn't it? A deep friendship. Not just knowing someone, but Moses knew the Lord face to face. In fact, you may recall the situations where his sister and brother were jealous of him because the Lord was speaking through Moses rather than them. But Moses was the only one that the Lord spoke to face, a man of faith, a man who knew God, a friend of God. I recently called a friend of mine who lives away in the Northern Islands, the Shetland Islands, and I spoke to his wife, and she just handed the phone over to my friend, and I didn't have to announce who I was. He knew my voice, because many years ago, we spent a lot of time together. We spoke face to face. We communed. Someone I trust, someone who trusts me. There's a deep, deep friendship. Do you have that friendship with God that comes from faith? You see, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Have you seen God work at in your life in the past, that you've stepped out in faith, that you believe God has asked you to do something, and you've trusted him? You haven't been sure how it was going to turn out, but you've trusted God, and you love spending time with God in his word, in prayer. Jesus speaks in John 15 that I haven't called you servants now, I've called you my friends. That's how I would like to live. I know that's how you would like to live if you're a follower of Jesus. To live this life of faith day by day, following Christ, becoming more and more like Christ, so that Jesus would say of you, this is my friend. Have you had that experience? A friend of yours has introduced you to someone and said, now this is my friend. That's a wonderful commendation, isn't it? To be a friend of God. Well, here in Deuteronomy 34, as we get back to the last chapter of Deuteronomy, Moses is 120 years old. That's old. He's about to die. But God has his purposes and plans. And God's purposes and God's plan don't die with his servants. God has been preparing a successor for Abraham, for Moses rather, for many years. I mean, who's going to take the place of Moses? He's special. No one can fill his shoes. But Moses has an assistant, a young man called Joshua, the son of Nun. And way back in Exodus 33, we read that this young man didn't depart from the tent, the tabernacle. Today, we would say that Moses had been mentoring Joshua. And in Numbers chapter 27, we won't read it, but you can read it there. There's a remarkable incident where Joshua is commissioned by Moses, where Moses puts his hands on Joshua and realizes that great man, although Moses was, he's not allowed to go into the promised land. But Joshua, this younger man, this man who'd been in battle against the Amalekites, you may recall, he is going to be the successor of Moses, and he's going to lead the people into the land. We see here in Deuteronomy 34, verse 9, Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. You think you'd be a little scared to follow Moses? Turn over the page. Next page is Joshua 1. What do we read? Joshua 1, verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Isn't that wonderful? You saw all I did with Moses. Just as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do, here it is again, according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, for you shall meditate on it day and night. Isn't this wonderful? That God's servants die, but God's plans and purposes continue. And God has raised up and has prepared this man, Joshua, fills him with his spirit, commissioned by Moses, and go forward into the land. There's going to be enemies, Joshua. I want you to be strong and courageous, and remember, don't depart from the law of the Lord. I want you to know the law. I want you to meditate on it day and night. I don't want you to depart from it. Don't think you are wiser than the law of God. Don't depart from it to the right or to the left, but keep on straight, and you'll have great success, Joshua. How wonderful. See, Moses' mission of bringing the people to the promised land is fulfilled. God's servants die, but God's work continues. That's the biblical process. It said of Moses that he endured as seeing him who is invisible. You see, Moses fulfilled his mission in life. He had a full life. He experienced opposition in Egypt. He experienced opposition from the people of God in the wilderness, but he endured. He didn't give up. Moses didn't know anything about retirement. Here he is at 120 in Deuteronomy 34, and we read that his eye was undimmed and his vigor unabated. I think this is marvelous of Moses that he continues serving God right to the end until he dies. Isn't that what we all want? To endure? To keep on serving the Lord. Sphere of ministry may change, but as long as God places us here on earth, we're going to live for his glory. Well, I've lived with Moses now for a few months, and on this last message, as we think of his death, I think of him dying, Moses dying. This is so poignant. This man who had done so much, he dies. You see, Moses saw the land that had been promised. Moses knew that God, through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, had given this covenant that he was going to give them a land, and that you, Moses, are going to have the privilege of leading the people right to the edge of the promised land. And God is always true to his promises. And Moses fulfills his ministry and comes right to the edge of the land. No, he didn't enter the promised land, but in a sense, something greater happened to Moses. On the Mount of Transfiguration, we read in Matthew 17 that when our Lord was transfigured, there were two characters with him. One was Elijah, and the other was, yes, Moses. Moses is the prophet. The Lord says here, there has not risen a prophet since in Israel like Moses. He's a prophet. In Deuteronomy 18, Moses tells of another prophet coming, a greater prophet than him. And he said, it is him you shall listen to. And now on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses is in the promised land. He's with the greater prophet, our Lord Jesus, who not only is a prophet, but is also a priest and a king, fulfills all of the ministries and the offices of Israel, the prophet, the priest, and the king. And on the Mount of Transfiguration, God says of his son, something he could never say of Moses, this is my beloved son, with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. In the Sermon on the Mount, we've been learning that Jesus is the interpreter of the Mosaic Law. He is the fulfillment of the Mosaic Law. He is the prophet, the priest, and king. You know, we have going on right now about whether or not statutes should be removed. I saw in the United Kingdom that there's a movement to take down the statue of Churchill because some of his views are quite wrong. Well, Churchill is someone I know a little bit about, and of all the criticisms that I've heard over the last few days, none of them come as a shock to me. His views on India, his views on different things is well known over the life of this man, particularly in the pressure of war. He dictated literally thousands of memorandum, and I'm sure there are things, as people go through them, that they say, well, this is terrible that this man did. And it is true. They want to take down his statue. They want to call him a racist. Well, what do you think? Why is it that there's not a statue to Moses? You see, God buries him. And no one knows where Moses is buried. And as you think throughout history of all of the great men and women who have lived, yes, some of them have statues raised to them. Or whether you think of the great characters in Scripture like Moses, over every single one we could write failure. I was in our cemetery yesterday for a funeral. And Goodney and I walked around and looked and read some of the names on the tombstone. Many of them have passed since I began to pastor here. And I know many of them, some I don't know. But for every single one I know, I could point out something wrong with the person. But over their imperfections, I could write, saved by grace. Saved by grace. I don't care who you select in biblical history or in the history of the world, whoever it is, even the greatest of the prophets like Moses, even this great man, this man of God who performed miracles, who was a friend of God, who spoke to God face to face, who went up the mountain and received the law of God, written with the finger of God. Can you imagine a man like that? And over his life, we can write failure. And Moses, you're not going to go into the promised land because you sinned. Every single one of us. That's the point of the stories of the Bible. And every single one of them is saying, sinned. You want to take Abraham? You want to take King David? You want to take Peter in the New Testament? You want to take Paul? You want to find fault with him? Yes, you'll find fault with him. You want to take Pastor Pierce, Pastor Hathaway, and Pastor Monroe, and look at our lives and say, is there anything wrong with these men? And the answer is yes, there is much that is wrong. But this is why our Lord Jesus Christ came. The perfect Christ, the beautiful Christ. The one who is the greater prophet than Moses. The one who is the greater priest than Aaron. The one who is David's greater son, the greatest of the kings of Israel. Our magnificent Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the only one who can forgive your sins. He's the only one who can take you to God. He's the only one who is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's why in heaven, who are we praising? We're not praising Churchill. We're not praising Moses. We're not even praising Abraham. We're not bowing down to any man. Listen to the words, the magnificent words. John says, I looked. Here's in heaven. And I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy, who's worthy? Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the living creature said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshipped. We have only one God. There's only one we worship. There's only one perfect man, the man Christ Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know him? If not, will you fall down and admit that you're a sinful person and look to the cross and receive forgiveness? If you are forgiven, may you pursue Christ and love Christ more and more and look forward to that great day when with all of the redeemed, we will sing, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Meantime, we are to live by faith. We're to be friends of God, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the life of Moses, this great man, this great prophet, this incredible leader, this man of faith who spoke with you face to face, and yet he failed. And so didn't enter the promised land. And we've all failed. And we thank you that our Savior came not to condemn us, but to save us and to deliver us from a slavery greater than Egypt. And may we, by faith, look to him. He says, look to me, all the ends of the earth, and be you saved. May each person know what it is to be saved by faith and to live by faith. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe, and the end of a message titled The Death of Moses, and the conclusion of our study series on the life of Moses. If you're joining us late, or if you want to revisit any part of our lesson, you can do that anytime by going online to theverdict.org. And as we conclude our series, we want to remind you that there's still time to get your copy of the special listening guide that goes along with this study. You'll want to have this printable workbook for your personal library to review the takeaways from this fascinating series and how to apply these important biblical lessons. So don't wait. Download or request your copy of The Life of Moses Listening Guide today by visiting our website at theverdict.org. And while you're there, be sure to also subscribe to John's monthly newsletter and be the first to know about upcoming series and events. Again, that's theverdict.org. We're so glad you're listening and have chosen to be a part of our ministry. And we invite you to get involved with the gospel work here at The Verdict. You can partner with us to share the gospel by supporting this ministry with a financial gift. Your generous contribution will help deliver the truth of God's word through the radio to your neighbors, your community, and to new listeners all around the world. To give today, go to theverdict.org or send a check in the mail to The Verdict, care of Calvary Church, 5801 Pineville Matthews Road, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28226. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? What are some of the important themes that you have learned from the life of Moses? We must seek to emulate his faith. For 40 years, he'd been in the palace of Pharaoh, and by faith, he had left that life and identified with the people of God. Moses mentored Joshua, so that Joshua is now ready to lead the people into the promised land. What legacy are you leaving? Next time, we will resume our study in the book of Revelation. We took a break, but will now return. Join me then.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.